Talk to you mom.
Awesome.
Okay.
I don't know. Why don't you see it? So I can move.
I saw Danny trying to get on.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. We don't hear you, but we don't see you.
Okay, I'm working on this.
Well, you can pull it up if you want.
Okay. Hello.
You're on.
Okay. That's settings. That's that. I am going to. Are we recording? Good. Let's get the video on. Start video. Okay. I'm here.
There he is.
Okay. Hopefully this will work. Boy, we got a whole crowd here. Let me share screen. Hello. I'm recording.
Good.
And we are here. And I see Mickey's here. Mazel tov.
You have a mazel tov?
No, Mickey.
Mickey Ariel got we saw that. It was very nice, very, very emotional in a 2020 kind of sense. As in the Bedeckin, they took each other's masks off.
I know. So cute.
Very sweet.
Who are you talking about? I just logged on again.
Oh, we're talking about giving you a mazel tov.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed being at the wedding.
Good.
And that it was very sweet at the Bedeckin when they actually took off the mask and actually saw each other.
They call that a joint Bedeckin. They were both examining each other.
Right. That's what you have to do. That's very...
Wanted to make sure they were marrying the right person. Not only was Elon not wanting to marry Leia, but he wanted to marry Rachel, and she wanted to marry Elon and not Adam. I don't know.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah.
I won't take offense.
And you might have noticed that my other son, Adam, read the Ketubah.
I did.
Yeah. Great.
He practiced a lot for that because it's not really easy. He doesn't speak Aramaic very well.
Right.
So he got it all. He had to figure out the right mil ra and mil el, all that Aramaic.
Make sure it was spelled right and had the right amounts.
I guess he checked it out. He did okay.
Okay.
It was fun.
Okay. Well, let's learn something. Anyone remember last week? We had talked to the nature of Nevuah and Harat Shah of a Navi. The idea that Navi can give a command, and we gave an example of potentially of something like that when Elisha was asked about the war of Yisrael and Yehuda. Yehoram was the king of Yisrael, Yehoshaphat was the king of Yehuda, and they went to war against Moab. Elisha, the king of Moab, had been subject to Yisrael and was rebelling, and they went to war, and Yehoshaphat was a nice firm king. Asked if there was a Navi who could help them, and Elisha said, here, I can do this. And his Nevuah was, source one, everyone sees the sources?
Yep.
Nekelzot ben Asha. This is easy for God, Matan Moab b'yadchem, and Moab will be handed over to you. Yikitem ko'ir mitzar, and you shall strike at every fortified city. B'chol i'ir mavchur, and every choice city, every lovely city, and you will knock down all the good trees. And you will stop up all of their wells. And you will cover all of their fertile fields with stones. We talked about how that apparently violates the law of Baltachas. You can't just go knock down all the trees. That was last week's mitzvah. He said, Sur al ir, Yami Rabim, if you go to have a siege against a city, you're trying to go to war against it to conquer it. Don't destroy its trees. Do raise an axe against it. Because you will eat from those trees. Don't destroy it. Generalize the law of always being green, being eco-sensitive. Don't just destroy trees. Are the trees people that you're going to go to war against them? Just a tree that you know is not a fruit-bearing tree. That you can cut down. Uvrita matzor, but as long as you can use it, you're going to build your siege engine with it. Uvrita matzor la iyo, you'll establish the siege against the city. Asher usay mecha mechama, that you're going to war against, ad ridata. Excuse me, until you conquer it. So that seemed to be a horacha. Nabi comes and says, do this, it violates a law, so but you have to listen to the Nabi. The Midrash said, no, that's not a horacha, that's a specific law in the law of Baal Tashchit. There's an exception for Moav. This is the way the Midrash Rabbah looked at it. Verse 3. Odomar lahem, Moavi b'yedchem. Elisha told them, the Moabites are in your hands. Natana Moav b'yedchem. You'll conquer all the cities. You'll destroy all the trees. You'll stop up the wells. So the people of Israel and Yehuda asked him, the Torah said, we can't destroy the trees. Can you say you should do them? You should do this. Elisha says back to them, that's talking about a war with other nations. This nation, Moab, is a despised, cursed nation. That's what it means, Nikal. This is easy. You cannot seek their good or their peace. Talking about Moab. This is the trees. So specifically, going war against Moab, you should, in fact, destroy their trees, stop up their wells. You can't destroy the environment when you're going to war against Moab. That's a detail in Moab. That's what we'll have to look at. And I said that was not a haracha. Haracha is a different thing. And I have to admit, to those who were questioning me last week, is Aaron still there? Okay. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Yeah, he's here. He just came. Okay.
He was asking about the haracha issue, because the Rambam specifically says that yes, this was a haracha, that I was wrong. He doesn't cite this medrash. And Rambam talking about the idea of a haracha and of a navi that can give commands that will violate a law for the moment. He says in the introduction to the Mishnah, Kamosha asa Elisha, b'tzavato hilachim moa. That's what Elisha did when he commanded to go to war with Moab, lachrikol eitz peri, to wipe out all the fruit-bearing trees. Amar kol eitz tov tapilo. That's what we quoted. Hashem na'al mesaken, and Hashem said you can't do that. And said lo tashchid eitza. Vilu sholat Elisha, and if they had asked Elisha in batla mitzvah zot, and if they had asked Elisha at that time, does this mitzvah not exist about Baal Tashchit? Don't cut down the trees. Are we now allowed from here on in to cut down the trees when we go to war? He said, no, that's not the case. That this we have to do, Hashem said, for right now. So you can look at that as either being haracha or part of the law of war with Moab and Ammon. But still, I want to look specifically why. Why is Moab so, as the Midrash says, so kala ubisuya, so cursed and so despised that it warrants being ecologically devastated? So the mitzvah about Ammon Moab comes from this week's parsha. That's our connection here. When it's talking about the laws of who can convert and marry into the Jewish community and who cannot, source 5, it says, come from Ammon and Moab cannot join the community of God. Understood as marrying in. Gamdor asiri lo yavo lahem b'kal Hashem ad olam. Even 10 generations later, they still cannot. This is forever. Abdavar, why? Abdavar shelo kidmu etchem b'lechem u'mayim. Because they didn't come to you, they did not approach you with bread and water, but derech b'tzitchem Mitzrayim, when you came out of Egypt. And because they hired Bilam to curse you when you were leaving Egypt. Now that's just about Moab, that's not about Ammon. And then and God did not listen to Bilam. Hashem turned the curse into a blessing. Ki echa Hashem lekach, of course God loves you. And then, lo tidrush shlomam v'tovotam, you shall not seek their peace, you shall not seek their good, kol yamecha olam forever. And that's what we understood as this exception to Baal Tashlit. Amon Mover is so terrible that they can't marry in, and they can't, and you're allowed to wipe out literally the environment there, not so much about them. So the Asher Sachar Lecha Bilam, they hired Bilam to curse you. It sounds bad. But again, that was Moab, not Ammon. And both of them are excluded. Both of them are part of this curse. But the other half, Lo Kidmu Etchem B'Lechem Amayim. They didn't come to you first with bread and water. You're hungry, you're traveling through the wilderness, and you pass by Ammon Moab, and they didn't bring you food. Doesn't sound that bad. We understand that if they define as a nation the lack of chesed, we understand why they can't marry in. Because that's part of what we're supposed to be, is supposed to be gomle chesed. That's the Gemara in Yavama, 4:6. Shoshasimanim yeshbu mazu in Yisrael. That there are three signs of what it means to be Yisrael, be part of the community, the Jewish community. Rachmanim, they have rachamim, they have pity, baishanim, they're embarrassed, they have some sense of shame. Ugomle chasadim, and they do good to others. Anyone has three signs can join the people. You don't, you can't. With the exception like Ruth, who was a Balat Chesed, could come from Moab.
Those are positive signs. What about the negative sign? You shouldn't hold a grudge. We're holding a grudge against them forever.
That's true. It's not, it's like we don't. Now God is holding this grudge against them. If God's commanding through the Navi, you have to remember you can't spare them.
But we're supposed to emulate God, so that means we can.
You should. That's right. So the question is why? What's going on here? What's so bad about Moab? And then, from our point of view, there is no Moab. We don't have to worry about, we don't have to necessarily do this for Jordan today. That's where Ammon Moab are now, but it's a more of a thematic idea. And in fact, the Rambam says, if you don't have these signs, we worry about your yuchas. We worry maybe you're not really Jewish. This is the Halachas Turibian. Okay, call me Yeshbo Azupanim. Anyone who's too haughty, too cruel, and hates people, and doesn't do gemil chasadim, doesn't do kindness to other people, choshim lo biyoter. We're very suspicious. Shema Givonihu. Maybe he's a Givoni, a Tin, a non-Jew. Maybe you're not really Jewish if you're not Gomel Chesed. Shisimenei Yisrael ha'uma kedusha, b'chanim rachmanim Gomel Chesedim. That's a sign of being Jewish. So that explains, at least, from the Tosa Lacha, lo yavo amonim ovi b'kal Hashem. They can't marry in. This is much more severe than just not marrying in. It's lo tidrosh shlomom v'tovotam. You can't seek their good. And it's not the same thing as Amalek, which has its own question. But yeah, it's not cultural genocide where we try to wipe out the whole culture. This is, if you go to war, then wipe out the environment. Very, just very strange. What's the problem with Ammon Moab? So this mostly comes from an insight from Rav Medan about the whole history of Ammon Moab. Who were Ammon and Moab? Descends from the daughters of Lot. Remember Lot? Lot was adopted by Abraham. He goes to Canaan with Abraham, and then he leaves. He goes to Sodom. And then as Hashem destroys Sodom, they rescue Lot, because Lot's the only one who actually offers them lechem v'yayin, what offers the angels food and shelter. Lot escapes. Sodom is destroyed. And then Lot that night stops at a city called Soar, and then he goes and runs away from Soar because his base is going to be destroyed, and then goes with his two daughters into a cave. Here's the story, source 8. Vayal Lot mit Soar. Lot leaves Soar after the destruction of Sodom. Vayeshev Bahar, and dwelt in the mountains. Vishdev Notan Imo, his two daughters were there with him. Kiyarei Lashev at Soar, because they were afraid to stay in Soar. Vayeshev Mahra, Hushnei Botav, and they were in the cave. Him and his two daughters. The oldest told the youngest, our father is old, and ish in ba'aretz lavo aleinu, and there's no one in the world who can come to us k'derech ha'aretz like people do, like derech ha'aretz. So let's get our father drunk, and lie with him. And we will get pregnant from him.
Where do they find that whiskey in the cave?
They conveniently the cave that they took shelter in conveniently was a wine cellar.
I see. Okay.
One of those, right? Rashi talks about it. It's one of those coincidences that shows that God's acting behind the scene.
Yes.
This was going to happen.
Yes.
Right, they hidden. Yeah, that's what the caves are for. That's where you keep your wine. But there's going to be a nyayim b'lailahu. So they got their father to drink that night. But tibo b'chirav tishkav etaviha. So the eldest came, lay with her father, and he had no idea what was going on. Vahim macharat, and the next day, b'tov b'chirav tzirah. The older one told the younger one, hen shachavti emes etavi. I lay with our father last night. Tashkenu yayin gai mahalaila. Let's do the same thing. Get him drunk tonight. And you lie with him, and so we can have children. But it's going to get malelahu at the bihanyayin, so they got their father drunk again. And the youngest one lay with him, and he had no idea what was going on. And both of them got pregnant. The oldest one had a son, but Moav. Her son is called Moav, who avi Moav Ariam, and that's the father of Moav. Basiragam he yelled that ben, and the youngest also had a child, and Krushmo ben Ami, who called the son of my nation, who avi bene Amon Arayom, that's Amon, the son of my nation.
So I question the sentences, the Tarin stayed benot lot ne avihem. They knew they got pregnant from the father. Weren't they also married before?
No, these are the ones who were not married.
Oh. They were married.
Their husbands were mocking and stayed behind. These are the two that Lot offered, they don't know any men. He offered them to the mob outside his door.
So he had four daughters, two stayed behind and two went with him.
Right. Okay. This sounds like a terrible thing. And everyone knows a terrible thing. It's incest. This is an awful story. This is the skeleton in the closet of David who descended from Moab. We know this is awful. But it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara in Nazir, and it looks like I have, did not save any of my editing. Okay, we'll figure out what I would have said if I'd remembered to save what I had edited. The Gemara in Nazir says this was an Avera Lishma, a sin for the sake of heaven. Verse 9. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Gedola avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. It's greater to do a sin for the right reasons, for the sake of heaven, than a mitzvah not for the sake of heaven. Shelo lishma for selfish reasons. That's a huge topic in itself. I'm not sure what you do with that. But they meant well. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amar Yeshua bar Karcha, in that context, la'olam yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah. Everyone should try to rush to do a mitzvah. To beschar laila achad, for the reward for that one night, to kidma bechiral tzirah, that the older one acted before the younger, a mitzvah, he's calling it. Zachta v'kidma arba darob Yisrael l'malchut. That they joined Malchut Yisrael four generations earlier. Because Ruth married Boaz, and then had the Rashi points out that it was Oved Yishai, David, and Shlomo, so four generations. And then the youngest one married a descendant of Amon, rather, Shlomo, the son of David, married the descendant of Amon, who was the descendant of the youngest one. So Moab married and had a daughter who married into Yisrael four generations before the younger one did. That's how wonderful this mitzvah that they did do. Was very strange. What kind of mitzvah is this? So Ramadan says, "Lo yiparesh bechazal ma mitzvah asu benot lod." What mitzvah? What was good about what they did? This is a horrible thing. Got them drunk and committed incest. Domeh ha'amor. So he's looking at it and says, when the daughters say, "Ish en ba'arz lavo aleinu," seems to me that that, Rabbanan says, that that sentence, Mefaresha Tataluma, explains the mystery. Because if you look at the expression of Lavo Al, usually this expression of intercourse is Lavo El. Lavo Al occurs two places in Tanakh, one by Bnot Lot and one by Yibum. Yivamayavo Aleha, that expression. Yibum, if a man dies without children, his wife is supposed to marry the man's brother so as to continue on the legacy of the brother. Yivamayavo Aleha v'chal lo lishav Yivma. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. The Dokta Tishkach, if you look closely, you'll find v'chol makom achar b'Torah nemar labo el. Everywhere else it says Lavo El, Lavo Al, only here. So I would say, HaParsha Kula Eina Ela Parsha Yibum, that what they are doing, what Lot's daughters are doing, is Yibum. In other words, when it says, Ish En Ba'ariz Lavo Aleinu, it doesn't mean there are no men left in the world. They knew the world wasn't destroyed, it was just Sodom. There are no men left for us. We have to fulfill this Yibum. That's what the Donor B'Not Lot are saying, right? We are the last of Sodom. That's their city. So we need to perpetuate the name of Sodom. We need to find some way of continuing on. No one's gonna marry us after this. We have to take matters into our own hands. So what's the Yibum? That's what we have to look at. That's also this week's parsha. Source 11. Yetru achim yachdav. U'melech ha-mehem. Two brothers live in the same time. One dies. The ben elo has no son. Lotzia yeshet hamet lachutzel ish azar. His widow should not marry someone else. Yivama yivo aleh. Her brother-in-law should yivo aleha, should marry her. Lachal lo isha, marry her yivma and fulfill this mitzvah of yibum. Yav b'chor asher teled. So the oldest child, the first child who will be born from that union, yakum al shem yachav hamet. Will establish the name of the dead brother. His name will not be wiped out. That's also an interesting idea. The Ramban, when he's looking at Yehuda and his sons and trying to have this mitzvah of Yibum, when he ends up marrying Tamar, talks about what the mitzvah of Yibum is. Verse 12. What is Yibum all about? So, first, he quotes Rashi. Haben yikarel shem hamet. Russian Rashi. When it says Yakum al shem echav hamet, it means literally. Rashi says, just name the child after the late husband. In Zeman, that's clearly not true because we have examples of Yibum and Tanakh, and they never have the same name. So what does al shem echav hamet mean? About inyan sod gadol. The idea is a big secret. It's a very Kabbalistic spiritual idea. Misodot haTorah, and of all the secrets of Torah. Mitodot haAdam, and in the nature of man, Nikar hu l'nei ro'im, and anyone who can see will see, but we're not going to get into the Kabbalah here, but we'll try to figure out what Ramban's saying. Asher natan l'ham Hashem einayim l'rot. Anyone who has eyes to see knows, was einayim l'shmo and ears to hear. What's the idea of Yibum? And wise people, Kodem HaTorah, from before the Torah, we're looking at Lot and we're looking at Yehuda here. Yodim, ki yesh to'elet gedola b'yibum. That there's a huge purpose. There's a good outcome for doing this Yibum. Yima'ach hu aroy liot kodem bo, that first it should be with the brother, that we need to somehow fulfill the spiritual legacy of this person. If they don't have a son, but it could be with a brother, it could be with any relative. Racharava karov mishmacha, and anyone, any relative there can fulfill this. Kosheira karov elav mishmacha, any close relative, asher hu yiresh nachala, that will inherit, yagiv mena talat, that will have this purpose of continuing on the shame, not in the sense of the name, but of it continuing on who this person was, who died without any children. Kosher bata torav, asher eshe, the Torah says, no, there are laws of incest. You can't do any of that. The Torah had one specific exception, and that's for the brother. It really applies to any relative. the underlying idea applies to any relative, the specific mitzvah of a brother. And he didn't, the Torah didn't want to remove the other isurim of incest. Those are still in place. Just this one exception to the law of erva. Yibum should still exist. Chachmi Yisrael, Kadmonim, and the ancient wise ones of Israel, like Huda, Bidatama Inyan, because they understood this, and Echbar Hazeh, this great idea, and Higul Afanim Yisrael, Basoda Masazeh, Bachol Yoshe Nachala. And so Yehuda would do it with any relative, anyone who could inherit. So that's why Yehuda and Tamar would carry on the name of their brothers, Yehuda's sons. Otam Shelo Yebem Yisrael Hasha'er, for anyone there is no particular, nothing's forbidden. The Karoto Gu'la, and they would call that Gu'la, and we saw that by root. Boaz and root was an active Yibum. Even though Boaz was her late husband's cousin, if I remember the relationship correctly, not actually brother, but still it was the idea of Yibum. They were redeeming the brother. Zu'inyan Boaz said explicitly, "This is Boaz v'tam nami v'shchenot." And when you see when Ruth is born, all of Naomi's, that's Ruth's mother-in-law, neighbors said that Naomi has a child, because really it was descended from Naomi's child Mahlon, because this was replacing, this was acted as an act of Yibum, but Maskil Yabid. If you understand, you'll understand that. So that the idea of Yibum is to carry on the name, as it were, of the late husband who has no children. So what are Benot Lot doing? They are fulfilling this idea of Yibum for all of Sodom. God said, Sodom is so awful, it's terrible. We're wiping it out. And they're saying, no, we need to perpetuate their name. That's what Amo and Moab are. They will make sure that Sodom and Amor are not forgotten. That Yol Yimachesh Shemam Yisrael. That's what Amon and Moab are, the Yibum, the spiritual heirs of Sodom and Amora. That's an amazing thought. This is, again, the Slav Ramadan. And they succeed. Look at the cities of Moab, one major city, the city of Tzoar, that was left intact, that becomes a major city of Moab. And I didn't necessarily realize that, but there were five cities in the valley where Sodom was. That's Sodom, the metropolis of Sodom had the five cities. We have that quoted in by the War of the Four Kings of the Five Kings. Source 13, Asun Melchamat, Bera Melch Sedom, that's one, Birchon Melch Amarat, that's two, Chinab Melch Adamah, that's three, Chimabra Melch Tuvoyim, that's four, Melch Bela Hitzoar, that's five. Five cities. Those are the Arei HaKikar. And all of them were supposed to be destroyed. And they were destroyed by Hashem, Tirat Sedom, by Amarat, Gafri Ba'esh, Hashem poured down brimstone and fire on Sodom and Amora, made Hashem Nashmaim from the sky, by Pochet Harim Ma'el, and turned over these cities, Bekol Kikar, Bekol Yashvi Harim, Tzemach Adama, and wiped out all the plant. Really wiped out, turned them over, wiped out all the trees that were there in Sodom. But when Moshe is listing the cities that were destroyed, when he's telling Bnei Israel, you better watch out, because you're going to end up just like them, where he describes it as Gafrit Melach, the brimstone and salt, Shreifak and fire, Shreifak Kol Hatzah, fire the whole land, Lo Tizarav, Tatzmiach, plants won't grow, seeds won't take root, Lo Yaleb, Kol Esev, no grass. That's what's going to happen to Israel if you don't listen to God. Kama Pechat, and the way they were turned over, Sodom Ba'amara Adama Utsvayim. Four cities. Shefach Hashem Ba'po Chamato. That God turned over in his anger. At fifth city of Tzoar, that survived. That's because Lot prayed for them. Back when Lot's running away, he tells Yomer Lot Alhem, Lot tells the angels, Anad Hashem, please God, don't. Your servants found favor in your eyes. And you've done great good for me. Let me survive this terrible upheaval. But Achila Yokali Mole Tahara. But I can't keep running. I'm exhausted. And you can hang out, Mamati, lest this awful thing take up overcome me. I've only just lost my wife. There's a city here that's close. I can run away to it. It's a little city. And Maltan Nashama. Let me run away there. Hello, Mitzarhi, but she, it's small, and I'll live there. Vayomer Alav, and I said to Panech, come to Barazet, and the angel said, yes, I'll accept what you said for this also. Lotiyav Chieta Ir Asher Dibarta. I won't overturn that city. Maher Lehimel Shama, Kilo Uchal Asot, Davar Adbach Hashama, go run there, because I cannot do anything until you get there. Akein Karash Shema, Shema Ir Tzor. That's why it was called Tzor. Because it's the little city that was saved. And it becomes a major city of Moab. It was one of the cities of Sodom, now it's Moab. And if you look at Yeshayah, Yirmiyahu has the same thing. When Yeshayah has, much hundreds of years later, has a nevuah about Moab, specifically talks about Tzoar. This is Yeshayah. That Moab will be conquered by by the Assyrians. Libi l'Moab, my heart goes out to Moab. Itzak b'richeha. Its refugees are crying out, Ad Tzoar, until they get to Tzoar. Eglat Shalishiyah, Mabim says that's the circle of their Shalishim, of their colonels, of their third in command. Tzoar was the fortified city where Moab's army was based. That's where the refugees were running. Yimaleh luchit b'vichi, my tears are coming, Yalabo, and we're coming out. At the path to the plains that were in front of Tzoar, Malbim says, Zakat Shever, they cry out as they're being destroyed, Yoreru is being awakened. Tzoar is, as he puts over here, Magal v'chavrat ha-shalishim v'gibirim shel Moab. That's what Tzoar is. Most people think, based on the geography that's described in Tanakh, that it's now in southern Jordan, that is in fact what's now Petra.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the city of Petra, again, it's right south of the Dead Sea, or just southeast of the Dead Sea, southeast of the Dead Sea. It's got all these limestone formations that are easily carved. The actual buildings in Tzoar that Indiana Jones went through were much later than this, but it's been inhabited for a long time. So Petra probably, modern Petra is probably ancient Tzoar. City of Sodom, it's saved, becomes a city of Moab. Moab is the spiritual heirs of Sodom and Amorah.
Wasn't Petra, had this red rock and they thought it was Edom?
Yeah, maybe, well, I don't know if that's connected there, right? So Petra at the point the city was carved out was by the Idumeans, which is what the Romans called their province of Edom. And I don't know if it's connected or not. Again, the time of Tanakh, that area where Petra is where Moab would be.
Edom would be south. Based on the color of the rock, and it's the word Edom as Adama, and reddish or dirt color.
It might be connected. I mean, usually you think of Edom being named for Esau's red hair. Okay. So, why were Sodom and Amorah destroyed? Right, talking about the spiritual heirs of Sodom. Sodom was destroyed because they were not gomel chasadim, because they would not give lechem yayin to anybody, lechem mayim to anybody, they didn't give bread and water to anyone. A famous midrashim about Sodom, the Bereshit Rabba, Rabbi Ben Nachman, Rabbi Bibai says, kach hitnu anshei Sodom b'neihem. Sodom had laws. That was part of their civic contract. Amru, kol achsanya shuba lakan, anyone, any guest who comes here, abolim moto, will rape them. We don't need a momono, we'll take all their money. That's what we do with guests. Other famous stories, maaseh b'shtei na'arot, yadu l'shtot malo mayim. There were story in Sodom that two girls went out to get water from a well. Amrachat l'chaverta, lama panayach l'aniyot. I want to ask, why you look so sad? No, we have no food. We're going to starve. Masta, Milata Karkema, Yachlifu Natsula, Zu Mashabia Zu. So she knew that she wasn't allowed to actually give charity, but she snuck some bread into her water bottle and then gave it to her friend in the water. Kibin Shihugashuba, as soon as the people of Sodom found out about it, Natlua, they hanged her, Visarfuata, and burned her. You can't give bread to poor people. That's the law of Sodom, famous. And the one, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Rashi quotes, Kiave Mitrami Luhu Anya, when a poor person came, Yahabu Le Kolchad Bechad Danira, everyone would give him, a poor person who would come looking for food, everyone would give him money. The Tiv Shmiele, and everyone write their name on the coin. Why? Rifta Lo Havi Matale, because they wouldn't, no one would sell him any bread. You know, they have the money, but no one would sell, sorry, we're all out of food, we can't give you anything. You have a mit, and he would die of starvation. Ati kolchad v'chad shakil didei. And everyone would go back and take the money back because they knew which one they had given him. It's a way of mocking the poor. Have you had a rifta and the story of a girl? Have a kamafka rifta la'anya v'chad sva. That she gave some bread to a poor person in a chatzva as a jug. Ile milta, the matter was revealed. Shefiza devusha. And they tortured, they covered her in honey, ukmeel igar, shura, and they tied her to the wall. Ata ziburi v'achlua, and the bees swarmed her, and she died. That's what Sodom was all about. We don't give other people things. Everyone's, you know, we don't encourage charity. We are all extreme Randians, for those who like objectivism. Ayn Rand, everyone's read The Fountainhead, right? You know what we're talking about? Charity, you could read Ayn Rand if you want. The idea that charity just creates weakness there. Giving charity is bad for people, we can't do it. That's what Sodom was all about. They actually suppressed it. That's the Mishnah in Avot. Omer shalish shali v'shalcha shalcha. You say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Zu midya binoni. This is a normal person. Yeshua, there are those who say, Zub me that Sodom. That's what Sodom was like. It's yours is yours, it's mine is mine. That's it. And this was Rav Amiel, who's from the Hezri Yeshiva in Mali Dumim, I think. And Ethics from Sinai, Budem says something similar. What does that mean? Midah Benonit or Midah Sodom? That's pretty extreme. Omer shali shali v'shal cha shal cha. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Zeh midah binyanit. That's a normal behavior. It's chevra sheyichida. So that's talking about the individual. Individuals say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Kol achad yaseh rak leveito shalom. Everyone does what for their own household. Yich chevra, that's a society. Shemidata binyanit. That can survive. That's an average society. But a generous society, people give to others. You don't keep the money just for yourself. Well, yeshomer, in the plural, if everyone says that, there is no room at all for charity. This egotism, that everyone feels this way always, raise their midah sodom. That's when sodom happens. Okay to proprietor yourself, but having no milah chasadim, no offering to others, that's sodom. A society like this, any achot lamod cannot survive, which kayem afil sha'achah cannot survive at all. That's what sodom was. So, where are we with Amam and Moab? They're descendants of Lot. Lot was the adoptive son of Abraham. He was also the adoptive son of Sodom, simultaneously. So when this Yibum of Sodom, these descendants of Sodom, the spiritual heir of Sodom, have a choice. They can redeem Sodom. The paragons of Chesed, Ruth fulfills that, or they continue Sodom's path and be the Ra'im Chata'im and continue on and not being Gomel Chesed, not giving to the poor and hungry. And they chose poorly. They chose to be the descendants of Sodom and continue that on. Right? That's what it says in our parsha. They can't join Yisrael al Dabar Shel Kidmetchem B'lechem Yan because they did not offer bread and water to you. And if you look at that war that we started this year with, when Yehuda and Yisrael are going to war with Moab, it's clear what Moab was all about. It ends the following way. They're attacking Moab, they're winning. Moab, and the king of Moab realizes that he's losing the war. And he took 700 men to try to attack the king of Edom, and they could not. And they're in the fields outside, actually. So I picture it's actually outside of Tsoar at this point. So what does Melech Moab do? He takes his firstborn son, Hashem Rotach Tav, who is the heir, the crown prince who would reign after him, and sacrifices his son on the wall. Gives his human sacrifice. And that just shocked Bnei Israel. They couldn't deal with seeing such a horrible act. They shmuel hearts and they returned. The end of the war was with this act of human sacrifice. That's what Moab ends up as. And so, since they make that choice to be the descendants of Sodom and Amorah, they will end up suffering the fate of Sodom and Amorah. This is the Nevuah of Sephaniah, of the Achrit Amim, end of days. Shamati Charpat Moab, Yidufei Ben Amon. I heard the cursing of Amon and Moab. Asher Charfuat Ami, how they did, excuse me, and they insulted my people by Dilu Al Bulam and encroach on their border. Lachain Chayani Anum Hashem Tzvakot. Okay, Israel. Therefore, saith the Lord, I swear, Moab Sodom Tia, Moab will be like Sodom, Ubne Amon ka Amora, and Amon will be like Amora. The Meshach Harul, there will be left just clumps of weeds and Mechra Melech and a field of salt. Ushmama Adolam will be desolate forever. Sherit Ami Yivazum and the remnants of my people will expose for them. And the other nations will inherit them. And that's why we say here that when you're going to war, when it reaches that point of war with Moab, with that kind of Moab, then they will suffer the fate of Sodom and Amorah, specifically wiping out the plants, wiping out the environment, ending up the desolation of the Dead Sea Valley. Lesson is there is that Moab and Amorah specifically can be redeemed. That's the choice they make. That's what Ruth tells us, that chesed is still possible. It's a good lesson for all of us, because we have choices. We're not destined by our ancestry, but we have the opportunity to basically redeem our ancestors. And with that, we'll conclude. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbat Shalom. Did you say a sherit? I mean-